If you're glad to be here, give me a shout of amen.
Amen.
If you're really glad to be here, give me a shout of hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you're truly glad to be here, give me a shout of praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Everybody with me. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right. If you guys don't know, that's Pastor Hong's favorite line. He always starts with that. So, that's me. That was back in April of 2015 when I competed at the Collegiate Nationals in the 59-kilogram weight class. Okay, I came fourth in the nation. All right, and I'd like to begin with the scripture reading. I'd like to invite my friend Rebecca. Is she here? Okay, so I'm going to be preaching today, I guess. So the title of the sermon is, Let Your Personal Rest Room Overflow. Let your personal... you guys not... Okay, it's like your bathroom, your restroom, but
Alright.
Alright, I just want to open us up in prayer. Jesus Christ, I thank you for who you are, for your character, how you long to have intimacy with us. God, I thank you for your gospel and what it means for us, how it transforms us, how it makes us bear fruit, how we can do nothing other than respond to it. So God, help me, because your gospel is so great that the speaker cannot speak it without your Holy Spirit, and the listener cannot understand it, cannot comprehend it without your Holy Spirit. So God, I ask that all of our hearts become fertile soil, that your seed would land upon it, and that it would flourish. Jesus Christ, it's in your name that I pray, amen.
All right, so I'm Kudo. I'm not a pastor. I'm just some dude, and please don't call me Pastor Kudo, okay? I know Sang's already been on that. Okay, so then I want to read this. I want to show you guys this thing. So this is called a relationship house. Have you guys ever heard of this?
Yeah.
So Pastor Howard, who's not here, but he's in like Beaufort, South Carolina, he always likes to preach on this topic. And a relationship house is a metaphor for how what intimacy looks like in our own lives. So it has multiple rooms and multiple levels. Starting with the most superficial level, we have the porch. And a typical question for a person that you know on the porch would be, hello, my name is. Okay, so then a little bit deeper, a deeper room would be the office. And the office is where work gets done a little bit, you know, but not that much because, you know, it's not like a real office. It's a metaphorical office. So here you would ask people that are in this circle of intimacy, hey, what are your hobbies? What's something that made you joyful this week? Okay? So then a little bit deeper is the living room. In the living room, we ask questions like, what are your goals? What are your pet peeves? I want to know more about you as a person. What are characteristics that you admire? Another level to that would be the kitchen. And the kitchen is where people come in and they dine in, where they fellowship with you. And this is where the deep questions start popping up, where you ask questions like, what's really up? Like, how's your relationship with your parents? How's your relationship with God? How have you been hurt by church? This is where problems get sorted out. This is where your friends who are in the kitchen are the friends who, as Pastor Howard says, you know, when you're washing dishes, they don't just watch you wash the dishes. They come over around and they help you. They start drying it. They start putting away the dishes as you finish them. And then the last level of intimacy is the bedroom. And in Christian intimacy, an appropriate question to enter the bedroom would be, will you marry me? Okay? But even above any room in this relationship house, there's one thing even higher. And I call it the tent of meeting. All right, what is the tent of meeting? Well, I'm going to go and discuss that in a little bit. But first, we have an activity, okay? So this is the relationship house. How do we get further into the relationship house? Well, we get further in by talking to each other, by communicating with each other, by having each other understand where we're coming from. So I want to do an activity with you guys. For about 7 minutes, I want you to meet with somebody that you don't know well. Okay? Look across the room. There's a lot of attractive faces. So everybody, 3, 2, 1, stand up. All right, and I'm going to give you 10 seconds to find someone. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, you should have already found a partner, someone you don't know well. So this is an excellent opportunity to welcome newcomers. Meet with somebody. Oh, I should explain that. All right, everybody. So the goal of this exercise is to get deeper in the house, okay? And I know some of you are like in high school or middle school, and you feel very awkward and have a difficult time with conversation. That's why I got these questions to help you out. I got your back. So Get deeper. All right, I'm going to give you guys 6 minutes. Hey, you guys talk it out. Kimun, what are you doing all alone? You're supposed to meet with somebody, man. Yeah, how are you doing?
Good.
Yeah. Is it hard being here? Do you understand everything that's going on? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Hey, Kimun, I'm glad you're here. Yeah. I'm all really nervous. It's my first time going up there. Yeah. Should ask people questions. How's it been in America? You can speak in Korean. 한국말로 해.
질문을 못 알아들었어요.
어떻게 지냈니?
잘 지냈어요. 좀 영어로 해줘도 돼요. 조금은 알았는데 제가 말을 못해요.
How have you been?
여기 그냥 놀러 왔어요. 여기 기사님이, 부모사님이 친척이라서 그래서 놀러 왔어요.
Are you having fun?
아, 재밌어요. 그리고 예전에 한번 왔었고.
Oh, when?
Okay. 2 years ago. You went to Florida? 2 weeks ago? 1 week ago? Have you been to the beach before? In America or in Korea? Oh, really? Okay. What's it like in Korea? Is it hotter in Korea or here? Spa? Spa. Oh, humidity. All right. I'm gonna go back up. All right, if you can wrap up and find your seat. I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to, just going to keep going.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. All right, so once again, this is the relationship house, and each level describes a level of intimacy. And the highest level is called the tent of meeting. And what is the tent of meeting? I want to read Exodus 33 one more time. It says, when Moses entered the tent, and this is talking about the tabernacle, and this is where the Israelites believed that the presence of God would dwell. It says, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at his door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And is this not what we all desire? Intimacy at the highest level, for God to speak to us as a man would speak to his friend. As you spoke to the person just before, where you get to be understood, where you get to understand, where this kind of communication raises worship, and not just worship in yourself, but worship in those around you. Is this not so attractive? But the reality of our society, the reality of our world is there isn't worship everywhere. In fact, if you just check your Facebook or the current events or anything, you know about these topics, about victim blaming, where people who are survivors of incredibly tragic events are told it's your fault. It's your fault that you got raped. It's your fault that you put yourself in this situation. And the institutions are set up so that there is no justice. And there's the Black Lives Matter movement. And they say you can't understand that there's privilege. That there's a disproportionate amount of black lives that are being affected by brutality, by discrimination. There's things like Islamophobia, racial profiling, homophobia. These are areas where worship is not arising. So what do we do? And what do they say? They say that there's injustice. They say, you guys can't understand. You don't know what it's like to be one of us. You can't understand. And sometimes the reality is, when we come from a place of privilege, when we don't experience the discrimination ourselves, we can't understand. So what do? We despair. No, I'm just joking. We don't despair. But despair is a choice that many people have made. But I want to tell you a different choice. And my hope and encouragement is that you don't choose to despair, that you choose something else. And this other thing that I hope that you choose is to acknowledge the pains, the deep sorrows, that these things are festering wounds as well as fresh wounds that are happening. For people to empathize, to say, hey, I understand how you feel. Even though I've never experienced myself, I want to know, can you tell me more? For us to discuss it at a higher level, is this not what we want? To talk to each other, to get deeper into that relationship house. We want to be transformed. We want to change from the deepest part of ourselves. And we want to respond. The Black Lives Matter movement, they don't want just for people to be aware. They want actual change. They want policemen to be put under trial in the same way. They want to have accountability. They want to know what's going on. And this is not something recent. This is something that's been going on for decades. And these are all ways to combat injustice. But I must tell you, there's an injustice in our society, but there's an even greater injustice. And the greater injustice is found here in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And this is a divine injustice. And it says, we have all sinned. But in our humanistic thought, this is all we focus on. We think, we are sinners. But that's not the focus of this verse. The focus of this verse is the glory of God. The divine is the focus. That it is not about how low we are. It's about how high, how holy, how perfect God is. So what do? So the parallel is that God loves us. God loves His people. You can't even understand how He loves us. It's so deep how He loves us. It makes so little sense how much He loves us. You think these societal injustices are great? This injustice is divine. So what do? We despair. No, we don't despair. We don't despair because God made a way. And we look at the next verse where God shows us the way. And it says here, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace, unmerited favor. You don't deserve it, but this is mercy that triumphs over judgment. Justified by His grace as a gift. Through the redemption that is Christ Jesus. That this is a love that doesn't make sense. So what do? We don't despair. We do the same thing. We acknowledge the love. We try to empathize with it. We see how God was so vulnerable in the form of Jesus Christ. And we try to take on that same humility. We discuss it at a higher level. We speak to our friends. We reach out. We're always talking about this. And then we're transformed. And this transformation happens not because of anything you've done, but because of grace, because of unmerited favor. You don't deserve this, but you get transformed. And when you get transformed, you have no choice but to respond. You have no choice but to bear fruit. So, If you look at these two parallel things, they look, you know, strangely parallel. But what happens here? God loves his people. God loves his people so much. And how does he show his love for us? Through the cross, through Jesus Christ, through grace, through mercy. And what does that do to us? It transforms us. Transformation. I'm sorry about the formatting. We switched over computers and it kind of happened. But we get transformation. Transformati on. But then from transformation, where do we go from there? We seek a deeper experience of God. We seek his presence. We don't get transformed, or we don't do the tent of meeting first and then we get transformed. No, we transform first. And then when we meet with God, when God speaks to us as a friend, when we have intimacy with God, what happens? We respond. We take action. We start moving on our convictions. We start changing. And we start changing the people around us. We do the one-on-ones that we did just now, where you start talking to people. And you talk to other people in your church. You talk to each other and you encourage one another. You say, hey, don't forget about the tent of meeting because it's going to overflow. You say, you start meeting with people outside of your comfort zone. You start meeting with people outside of your racial identity. You start breaking down barriers. You start breaking down prejudice. You do a direct effect on injustice. You start breaking these things down. But where does it all start? It truly starts from the love of God, from being transformed and then meeting in the tent of meeting. There's an overflow. We need to be meeting with God. If we want to see change, if we want to see justice, we need to be meeting with God. So here it is. My final take-home message is, here's the tent of meeting. Our personal ministry overflows into our public ministry. I hope now that let your personal restroom overflow pun makes sense now. But our personal ministry, our relationship with God, our ministry in the tent of meeting, are we daily meeting? That is what truly overflows into our public ministry. The public ministry is our society. It's the broken people around you. It's the people who are hurting, your family, your friends. And when you start meeting with people, what happens is that you start having more say in their life. You get something called social equity, where you have influence. And not kind of a devious influence, but a genuine and authentic influence. Where you can ask your friend, hey, would you like to come and hear me speak on a Sunday? Or would you like to come and listen and discuss these burdens on my heart? And when you have social equity, when you speak with people, when you let them know that you care and understand, you can speak into their lives in a new way, and they can speak into your own life in a new way. So one more time, our personal ministry overflows into our public ministry. And one last thing I just want to end on is it's a verse from Psalm 27:4, and this is my life verse, my favorite verse. And it reads, "One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." All right, with that, I'd like to close this out and pray for the offering. Jesus, I thank you for how much you love us, how you show so much humility towards us, that despite your holiness, that you would call down upon us, that you would delight in us, you would invite us to your table, that you would ask for intimacy, that you would ask and let us know that you fully understand us, that you fully know us to our deepest reaches. So God, we want to meet with that. We want to meet with you. To have meeting with you overflow into our lives. Overflow into injustice. So God, I pray over the offering. I ask that you use our sacrifices truly for your will, to spread your gospel, for people to experience your beauty. Jesus, I thank you for this service. I thank you for every heart that has come. And it's in your mighty name that I pray, amen. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Maybe the perfect time to talk to you about it. For several years now, this church has been trying to get Howard to serve as a full-time youth pastor over youth and young adults. I think it's coming to that very quickly. We have several meetings. We have something that we're prepared to offer to Howard and his family. And it's a family decision, as you know. Josiah is starting his senior year. Where is that? It might require them.
Junior year?
I think there's a few unresolved issues regarding the family situation for him to make the transition to full time. What I'm asking you is to pray for him. Because that's all we can do. The decision is Howard's and Howard's alone. The reason I'm saying this to you now is that I don't want him to be burdened by the fact that everyone is praying. And I'm not even sure what you're praying for, what you will be praying for. But pray we must. For God's will to be done. Because I see so much potential in this group. So much potential in this church. I just think that it requires someone full time. Now, if Howard, for whatever reason, decides not to, then we got to figure out how to supplement. Howard is going to be the lead guy here forever until he decides when it's time. All right. But if what we do need is, you look around and look at the number of people, and this is not a high number week, right? I mean, we probably are missing maybe 20 people or more. So just think about all the work that's involved in taking us to the next level of serving God. It's not all about just getting bigger. Like Kudo was talking about. It's about getting closer to God, each one of us. And we need help from someone like Howard. So we need to pray that whatever situation is going on, whatever decision he has to make, whatever obstacles that Howard may be facing, making this decision, making this transition, that we can pray